That's all for the announcements. Would you please stand for the reading of the Word? Today's passage is from Philippians 4, 10 to 23. Philippians 4, 10 to 23. Starting in verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment, and even more, I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So now I'd like to invite our pastor and our friend, Pastor Wilson Chang, to give us a message titled, The Joy of Contentment.
There was a story long time ago. There was a cranky, mean old man. Once he came to visit a rabbi. It was not very long that the rabbi realized that this visitor has a very cranky and very bad attitude. He seems to be very upset and all the time mad at people. But at the same time, this old man is also a very rich man. So the rabbi engaged in a conversation with this old man for a while, and then suddenly he thought of an idea. So he brought this old man in front of his window in his home and asked him, "Sir, what do you see through the window?" So the old man was puzzled, and then he looked through the glasses in the window. He said, "I saw some children, some men, some women walking on the street." Then Rabbi said, "Very well." Then he took his hand and led him to a mirror. And then standing in front of a mirror, he asked him, "Sir, what did you see?" And then this old man, even more puzzled, he said, "I saw myself." And this rabbi said, "You see, that's very funny. Because what you look through are exactly the same. Because these two things, my window and my mirror, they were made of a pane of glass. But the difference is, there's one pane of glass, behind that there's a little silver. And because of that little silver, you don't see anybody else except yourself." It is a story, but it is a story that highlights today the scripture that we read. And I entitled today's sermon, The Joy of Contentment. Because the joy of contentment is not determined by how much we own. It is an attitude. It is a discipline. And it is a trust in the Lord. Let's bow our head and pray together. Father, this morning, we ask for your presence, and we trust that you are among us. Help us to lift up our hearts and eyes to worship you, to worship you in love and in truth. Father, we thank you for all the gift that you have given us in our lives. But this morning we pray for ourselves that whatever gifts that we receive, these gifts will not become a hindrance for our walk with you together and for our knowing and pursuing you. So would you please send forth your Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts, set us free, so that we can grow and learn in your truth. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The scripture that we just read is the last part of the book of Philippians, which conclude the whole book of Philippians. Now in this verse 10 to 13, Paul was addressing an issue related to money, but he did not say that directly. But we know that it's related to money from the point of view of the giver. And from verse 14 to 19 is from the point of view of the receiver. So let's read this. Let me read this whole passage to you again. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know that what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now Paul here is saying that in situation, in his ministry, there's many, many times that he was in need, and many, many times he has plenty. And what he's saying is neither of these things affect him, because he had learned a lesson to be content. Now how do we learn and how do we grow into a Christian walk, in a Christian life that is always content? I'd like to share with you this morning from three perspectives. We can be content because we live in a Christian generosity. We live in a Christian generosity. Allow me to read you two verses from 2 Corinthians. This is what Paul taught and teach about giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, Paul said, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality, as it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. It is a principle of equality among Christians. And that equality generates from the spirit of being generous. Generosity. Generosity is not decided by how much you have, because in the background, in the context of the Philippian church, they are poverty-ridden. They are a church who are poor. But yet, Paul mentioned it here and also later in the text that we read, that even in the difficult time, even among all these churches, they focus on their own needs. The Philippian church, they decided to gather their offering together and to support Paul for the sake of the gospel. The spirit of generosity is a spirit that seeing that all we receive are freely from God, and therefore we freely share. It is a generosity that has consistency in that. Because here in verse 10, Paul said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned. He stressed that this concern is a continuous action. Continued concern. It's not just one time. You know, the challenge for churches, for local churches, and also for individual Christians to support mission work, to support gospel work, to support God's ministry is continuity. It's the consistency. It is easy, rather easier for us to have a one-time offering. But it is very difficult for us to continue to offer on a consistent basis. That is why every year during the month of October, when we have our mission conference, we always have the mission fund drive. The mission fund drive is designed to help us to build in this kind of continuing support, a monthly pledge, a continuing support, a consistent support. And Paul said, I rejoice greatly, because he saw that continuity in the support of the Philippian church. Furthermore, in verse 14, Paul said, yet it was good of you to share in my trouble. This spirit of Christian generosity is a spirit of sharing. It's a spirit of true partnership. That when Paul was in need, when he was in trouble, the Philippians really look at it as, when you are in need, when you are in trouble, when you are in pain, it is my need, it is my trouble, it is my pain. So Paul said, you share. It is good of you to share in my trouble. And this Christian generosity will help us to store up treasure in heaven. Someone said, it is a wise investment that to give something that we cannot keep in order for exchange for something that we cannot earn. It is a way when we give, when we freely give, to support God's ministry, to support missionary, to support local church projects, outreach, and all these things for the gospel's sake, we are doing an exchange. We are exchanging the earthly currency with the heavenly currency. And therefore, Paul said, it will store up, it will account as our credit in heaven. As in verse 17, he said, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. He was referring to the account for the Philippians in heaven. I remember years ago, there was a brother in the Mandarin congregation. He felt a calling from the Lord, so he decided to quit his job and attend seminary. And when he attended seminary, there was a year that I was his mentor. And then during that seminary years, he came to meet with me on a regular basis. We see each other on a weekly basis. And oftentimes, before we end the meeting, I asked him, what can I pray for you? And I remember very clearly one time he said, would you please pray for me, Pastor Wilson, that I would be able to come up with the rent money next month. He was renting a room and a house, and he doesn't have much in his savings. And he just got a job, you know, before he was called into full-time ministry for 1 or 2 years. So he doesn't have any saving. He doesn't have any money. So to a certain degree, in those years when he was in seminary, he was not sure where is the rental money coming from for next month. So we did pray about that. And then I had the privilege observing in the same congregation, there's another sister. She was praying for God's word work in the church. She was praying for all the ministry, and she was in particular praying for all the brothers and sisters that got called into full-time ministry or will call into full-time ministry in this local church. And it was in her prayer that the Holy Spirit pressed upon her heart that you offer certain amount to this person, not directly through the church. So she did it through the channel fund, and it was for this brother. And I still recall very, very clearly that I saw this brother walk into the church when the finance secretary asked him to come to see her. When he opened the envelope and saw the check, I could not forget the look in his eyes, the gratitude, the confidence that the Lord that he served will provide for him. How did that happen? It was because of Christian generosity. That sister was not a rich person, but nevertheless, she offered. She offered according to God's pressing upon her heart. And in turn, this young minister experienced God in a miraculous way of provision. The spirit of Christian generosity. Paul said it 2,000 years ago, and we still can experience that in the 21st century. The joy of contentment coming from one Christian's need will be fulfilled because the other Christian is willing and is generously offered. The joy of contentment also comes from a Christian discipline. Because contentment is a discipline, it is not directly related to how much you own. It is related to how you look at the thing that you possess. It is an attitude. It is a decision not to greed for more, not to long for more. Certain anthropologists / missionary, they did some work among a group of American Indians in the southwest corner of Mexico called the Mazatec Indians. Among the Mazatec Indians, they discovered there's a very particular phenomenon. The phenomena, they call it limited good. This is what they observe. They observe that these people, this particular tribe, they seldom wish anybody well. They don't say any good things to other people. Not only that, they hesitate to teach one another new things or share things, share ideas, even share the gospel with each other. This missionary went into there and found out it's very difficult to drive them, to encourage them to share the gospel with their family member, their friends, their neighbors. Very, very difficult. Not only the gospel, but also in their daily life, everything. They don't want to share. They don't want to say any good thing to others. And then later they found out that there was a belief in their culture. It's called the limited good. What that means was they believed that in this universe, good things are limited. They don't have plenty. So if you say something good to others, then that good thing bank will decrease. The account will decrease. So therefore, in order to keep more good for yourself, I don't say any good to others. Now if we view the good things, the blessing that we are holding on right now with that kind of mentality, we will not share. We will not give. But our God is a God of plenty. Our God is a God of richness. Our God is not a God of limited goodness. He has unlimited goodness. Therefore, we can share. But this kind of share, we have to learn to do that. We have to learn to discipline ourselves. I know many of us, you have the habit of tithing and offering to God's work. But I remember when I was a college student, when I became a Christian on the second year in college. And I attended a church, a local church, that the pastor in the youth group taught us. He did not apologize for his teaching. He taught us, even though you as a college student, you have not have a job yet, but you still need to learn the discipline of tithing, offering. So I took in that teaching, and I calculate every month my expense, tuition, food, everything. And then I come up with an amount, and I come down with 10%, and I take the money. Because at that time, my parent was still supporting me in the first couple of years in college. And I take that as if, like, that's my allowance. So I tithe on that one. It has been almost 30 years now. And I can testify that I was never in want. I need all the things that I need, God provides. And it is that discipline that helped me to learn and have the opportunity to experience God's faithfulness. So I want to encourage those among us, you might not have a job. You might not thinking that you are making money yet. But it is a discipline. A very rich man in our country, J.D. Rockefeller, he said this, I quote, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which is $1.50 per week." If you cannot do it right now, you probably cannot do it later. It is a discipline. The discipline is, the spirit of that is, what I have and what I am enjoying is God's blessing and God's gift. He freely gives to me. So in gratitude, I want to use that as a token to honor and to acknowledge God's provision and God's faithfulness in my life. It is a discipline. Because we ought to learn not to covet. There was a story by the Russian author Leo Tolstoy. Do I pronounce it right? But you know who I'm talking about. He wrote a story. He said there's a peasant, a farmer. He has a small piece of farmland. And then one day he came across a news that a big landlord saying that I'm going to sell my property for 1,000 rubles. Now, how big is that property? It depends on how far you can walk in one day's time. So the deal is this. You pay me $1,000 and then you set out in the sunrise and return to the original point by sunset. And whatever land that you walk through belongs to you. So this farmer, very excited, thinking my farmland is not enough. I want a bigger one. So he start out very early and then pay $1,000 and getting ready. And then he start to jog, you know, in the beginning. So, you know, before noontime, he was very, very exhausted. But he's thinking, because I want to own a bigger piece of land. So he continued to walk. But by noontime, he realized, I walked too far. I might not have enough time to go back to my original point by sunset. So he turned around and walked back as fast as he could. Exhaustion came. And finally, he made it to the original point that he started out, barely make it, and collapse and die there. That's a story. You know the story's title? The story title is, How Much Land Does a Man Need? Upon his death, his friend came and dug a hole 3x6 and buried him. You see, the feeling of enough, actually, we can discipline ourselves to learn that we are content. We have enough. We can decide not to be greedy. Is a decision. It has very little to do with what you own. It is about your heart. It is about your heart. The joy of contentment, coming from a generous spirit of Christians, sharing with each other. The joy of contentment coming from our discipline in the Lord, the joy of contentment also coming from our trustfulness in God. Trusting in God. In today's scripture, verse 19. Paul said, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." I want to bring to your attention on this particular verse. Paul said, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Two words pops up. One is according. The other one is the plural form of richness. Riches. Paul did not say God will meet our needs in his glory. Paul said according to his glory. It is a miraculous thing. If God meet our needs in his glory, that means our need is like this, and then he has a lot of things, and he takes a little thing and give it to us. That's it. But if Paul said is according to his greatness, that means whatever God owns, whatever God possess, he will use that resource to pour in to satisfy our needs. And also Paul stressed on the glory in Christ Jesus, the glorious riches. It's not just one singular form, it's all sort of riches. We find our security and our comfort and our shelter in Christ. Everything is in Christ. It's not through Christ. It's in Christ. The riches that Jesus has become ours. And that is what Paul's saying. And that is because of this. Paul would say that whenever I'm in need or in plenty, I learn to be content. I learn to be satisfied. I learn that I can trust God because all these are coming from God. There's a God's servant named George Mueller. He is the one with strong faith and he run orphanage in Europe. And there was a story that recorded in his biography. He's saying that one of the orphanage that he run has about 2,000 orphans in there. And one night, the chef, the one who in charge in the kitchen, came to George Mueller with great anxiety. He said, "By tomorrow morning, I have nothing to make breakfast. Nothing for 2,000 kids to eat." George Mueller saying, "Let's knee down and pray together." So they knelt and pray. Next morning came, there's no miraculous breakfast appear on the table. But George Mueller nevertheless asked him, "Could you set all the utensils on the table? And then call the kids come in to sit down for breakfast." And this chef, this brother in charge of the kitchen, was very puzzled and very nervous. He said, "Where is the food come from? We asked them to sit down there, everything is empty." And George Mueller said, "We just wait upon the Lord." And even when the kids were sat down, nothing happened. George said, "Let's all bow our head and say grace." Now this chef was very, very nervous. But while they bowed down and say grace, this is a true story. The doorbell rang. So someone opened the door. And this a bread factory owner came in, knocked on the door. He said, "I have a truckload of bread. Now because of the employee in my factory, they were on strike. And I cannot deliver these bread to the bakery. And if you keep it long enough, it's not fresh, it's not going to sell. Do you have any use of this truckload of bread?" And that was the time that George Mueller said, "I experienced the riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is according to the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. Our Lord has everything. He owns everything. We do not need to be anxious about our need. But yet, the challenge to all of us is, are we willing to live a life that is marked by giving? That is marked by contentment. Because of the contentment that we experience, we are a life of giving. Last week, I had the opportunity, the privilege, to visit two members in our church, one in Cantonese congregation, one among us. Those are the last moments of their lives. I walk in, I pray, I say goodbye to them. My heart was very, very sad. But when I reflect upon their life, one elderly brother, one young sister among us, my heart has a profound joy in my heart. Because both lives were marked by what they give. These two lives were not marked by what they own, but they were marked and defined by what they can give. I would like to share with you this music video. It's a song many years ago written by Ray Bowes. It's called Thank You. It's an encouragement for all of us. Whatever you give might not be money. It could be your talent. It could be your giftness. It could be your care. It could be your love. But if a life marked by that, it will be remembered by our Lord. Would you please play the video?
Changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so one by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. That was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Shall we all stand and let's pray together? At this moment, I want to invite you. If you want to make a decision to live a life that is marked by giving, a life of generosity, not related to how much you own, but because you are freely receive, you are a free receiver, freely received from the Lord, that you said to the Lord, Lord, I want to give it back to you. Use it to bless someone. Allow my life to be a blessing for others and marked by what I can give. If you agree with that, I invite you, lift up your hands as if a symbolized gesture that whatever you own, you freely give it back to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for the grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have yet seen his richness yet. But from all the message, the word, and the experience that we can experience, even though so limited on earth, we know you are a God of richness. And in you, you can satisfy all our wants and all our needs. Father, I want to lift up both my hands as a symbolic gesture of everything that I owe. I want to live up and give it back to you. I want my life marked by the same mark as Jesus Christ, to be marked by what he can give, not by what I can take in. So this morning, would you honor those who lift up our hands before you? You know our hearts. You know the struggle that we have. Even though some of us, we might not own much, but give us a spirit of generosity. Bless us with contentment from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and lift up his countenance toward you. May he give you and your family peace. We pray all these in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.